Welcome. You're listening to the Internet Advisor Podcast with your co-hosts, Gary Baker, Foster Brown, and their team of experts. Since 1998, this program has been helping people like you with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources and programs, and promoting tech businesses in our area. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour radio program heard weekly on WJR 760 AM in Detroit and across the state on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
It's going to be a great Internet Advisor today. Hi, I'm Foster Brown. We've got somebody coming in from the Motor City, Michigan Comic Con. One of the authors of a great comic book about Spider-Man. New Horizons will be here talking about an offer to help veterans get jobs. We're going to be talking about two young people. One of them, Ed's daughter, Chardé, who have been using a group source funding program to help with their causes. Great show. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, and we have a chock-a-block full program today, both in the studio and on our guest lines as well. We've got Gary Baker in here, Ed Riddell, Cal Carson, and Shane Hamlin. And Shane, I'm delighted you could be here in particular because of some folks you want to talk about this early part of the program, something I did not know was going on, but you're a big fan of it.
I mean, unlike what everyone thinks, we don't all sit home and fix computers and deal in viruses all day long.
And drink, you know, Mountain Dew and Cheetos.
Us IT guys, us geeky guys, we have our mecca, our homeland, which is Comic-Con.
That's right. And what better place to do it than in the Motor City?
That's right, over at Novi Center. It's all weekend. But right now, first, I'd like to bring in a guest of ours. He is a writer for Marvel. He's writ The Hulk. I believe he's done some Spider-Man. Mark Waid, are you there?
Hi.
How you doing, Mark?
Good. I'm having a great time at the show.
So how's it going for you at the show?
It's amazing. I mean, the crowds are huge, and they're all nice. Like, they're all pleasant. They're genuine fans of the material. They're not... You know, they're not just here to get autographs of people they don't know and don't care, and you know they're really interested in the people behind the TV shows, behind the movies, behind the comics. It's great.
That's neat. There's lots of great people there. I know. So some names I saw: William Shatner, and then I forget the name of the guy who is. It was a spinoff from Doctor Who.
John Barrowman. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, from Torchwood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You get there and you see, and a lot of people don't realize. I mean, you could be walking down, you know, and all of a sudden, Herschel from Walking Dead is walking next to you, and you wouldn't even know it. I mean,
no, literally, I got on the elevator last night back to my room, and I realized, oh, Herschel, I'm in the elevator with Herschel from Walking Dead. How are you?
But you know, not about everybody else. But you know, Mark, you've done a lot of comic book writing. Can you tell us maybe what is some of the stuff you've been involved in? And basically, I've always wanted to know how do you just put together a comic and sell it to Marvel, or do they come to you and commission it? How does it all work?
Basically what happens is, you know, you get a reputation as a writer these days, mostly by doing it on the web, by doing internet comics, because you can, it doesn't really cost you anything to print those. All you're doing is, you know, investing your own sweat equity to do your own web comics. And then, you know, kind of companies like Marvel and DC will find your work there. If it's good, they'll find it. They'll start talking to you about wanting to, you know, do you want to try doing a Spider-Man story? Do you want to try doing a Captain America story or something? And then from there, you know, you get to build a reputation for reliability and for quality. And then before you know it, you're getting regular assignments.
Mark, is this called graphic novels? Excuse me. Is that the term that's used, graphic novels?
Actually, yeah. I mean, we in the industry still call them comics.
Okay. You know, they're still called comics.
This graphic novel is awesome, but it sounds a little highfalutin.
I love it.
Now, Mark, do you do both the graphics part and the writing?
Actually, no. I thought about being an artist when I was a kid, but I just never had the patience for it. And I salute the guys who actually draw the comics and do the coloring and the layout stuff, because they're the ones who are doing the heavy lifting. With me, I'll spend like 3 or 4 days just sitting there thinking of ideas for Captain America or Spider-Man or Superman or whatever, and just letting my imagination run free. And then it's it's sort of like a jigsaw puzzle. You come up with an idea here, or an idea for a scene here, or a joke here, mm-hmm. and the more mm-hmm. of that stuff that comes to mind, you just sort of see how it all sort of connects together into a story.
Wow.
And then turn it into a script, and you send it off to the editor, and then the illustrator takes the script and turns it into artwork.
You know, I'm sure I could do this, except for yeah. one thing, the talent part would be the problem that I'd have with this.
There's the problem.
Yeah. So how do you know, I'm interested because if you were to do just a novel, right, you have full control over how the message comes across. But if you're writing a comic book, I mean, so much of it's visual, how do you work with whoever's doing the comic part of it?
But that's the beauty of it. It is a collaborative medium. I always say that it's my story until such time as I hand it to the artist, at which point it's our story. And then we have to work on it together. And if you're lucky and if you're working with somebody with talent, they'll bring ideas to it that you never even thought of. It's like it's like the difference between a screenwriter and a director. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, a screenwriter and a cinematographer. I mean, they'll take the basis of your story and add the visuals to it, and in a lot of sometimes they'll add ideas that you never even thought of that make it more interesting to look at.
And there's so much more to writing comic books. I mean, there's the social aspect to it. You've got to look at, you know, I know you were involved in what was it, Gender Through Comics? That was a college course that people.
It was a comics course. It was taught by Christy Blanche, who was an instructor at Ball State, and she actually has another one going on now. But it was this massive open online course. Was open to students across the world, and she had six continents worth of people taking this online course that was studying gender through comics. And now she's doing another one that's sort of social interactions and social issues through comics.
Given some of the distorted pictures, particularly of the female bodies, I kind of wonder how this whole gender thing works out. But I want to just quickly, because we've only got like a minute left, how do you... You're writing now, but you have a whole history, like with Captain America, that you're following. Yeah. How do you keep in touch with that history but write something new?
A lot of research,
you know,
right?
it helps to grow up loving the stuff. It helps to... Honestly, this is something that I wanted to do ever since I was a kid.
Wow.
And so I grew up loving these characters, and I studied them when I was a kid the same way that you'd study baseball statistics if you're a fan. I mean, you just know everything about the players. And so now, as an adult, I get a chance to sort of give back to those characters.
That's wonderful.
It's a joy.
You know, thank you, Mark, for joining us. Everyone can come out and see you tomorrow over at the Novi Center for the Comic-Con. You'll be there. Thanks again for joining us. And those that you don't know, you can visit Mark at his website at markwade.com.
Excellent. Mark, thanks so much for being with us. And folks, by the way, tomorrow, Shane is going to be there, and near the end of the program, we'll have something very special that he'll be doing out there. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. As I told you, we have a lot of stuff going on today, so we hit the ground kind of running. And once more, I want to welcome our crew in the studio, Gary Baker and Eddie Riddell. Good to have you here, too. Cal Carson, got a big Mac Group meeting coming up this weekend we'll talk about. And Shane, thank you very much for letting us in on the Comic-Con going on.
It's a great event.
Yeah, a big one, too. The 25th anniversary, by the way.
25th, and they have Shatner this year. I mean, how can you go wrong with Shatner? The Shatner.
He certainly doesn't feel anyone will go wrong with him. We have a delightful guest with us right now on our lines, and I'm glad to be able to make the connection. We've been trying to do this for a while. Scott McClain is with us. Scott is the Vice President of Operations at New Horizons Great Lakes. And Scott, thanks so much for being with us.
Foster, happy to be here today.
Delighted to have you. And I want to start off, first of all, by talking about a very special program you're doing, and then maybe branch out from there to talk a little bit more about New Horizons in general and the training courses you have. But you've got something that you're focusing very specifically towards veterans, the young men and women who are coming out of military service and often finding themselves in a really challenging job market.
We sure are. And there's actually a couple of unique things that we're working on. One was actually initiated by the state of Michigan, which we were excited to be part of, the Workforce Development Agency and their Veteran Services Group, that was really spearheaded by a gentleman named Chris Knapp. And Chris is the head of the Information Technology, and he's the Media Information Technology and Media Talent Director for the Workforce Development Agency.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris and I were chatting, I don't know, maybe it was last fall, and he said, you know, at the national level, it's pretty unique. They're working on some different programs for veterans that will help them get into information technology careers.
Mm.
And he, when he did some research on it, he said, you know, Cisco is one of the big groups that are engaged in this process. We think we could bring Cisco to the state of Michigan to help, you know, pilot a program where veterans could receive their certification in Cisco technology.
Oh, wow.
And we'd like New Horizons to be part of that education process. So we started a pilot last fall. Actually, we started recruiting for a pilot last fall. We said, let's start this kind of small. Let's pick 20 returning veterans who have some background that would help, you know, would
lend itself to it.
Yeah, launch them into an information technology career. So we said, let's the governor actually spearheaded this initiative, had a press release in November, and we had to date we have over 400 different people that veterans that applied for this.
Excellent.
This pilot. So unfortunately, we were only able to select 20 in this
sure.
first cohort, but we launched it in January. Half of the veterans were already employed before they even finished their training.
Wow.
Which was exciting to see that there's that level of interest from employers in the state of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
To say, hey, we really want qualified veterans to be working for us. You know, I'd say the reason we're really interested in working with veterans is they have a level of, you know, training, a level of maturity, and a level
right.
of discipline that's probably one or two steps above the general civilian workforce.
And the peers in their age group, I would imagine, in particular. It's interesting. I have a grandson-in-law, just married my granddaughter, who was just coming home from Afghanistan, who is in that exact position, is looking
right.
for a job and looking for the skills for a job, too.
So that's a perfect example, right? So there's a lot of folks coming back that already have a fantastic experience. And
right.
in a lot of ways, it translates very well to a work experience.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're working with the state of Michigan to do is let's translate those skills into a recognized information technology certification. So again, this pilot has been wildly successful. We're now talking with the state of Michigan and other education providers who would partner with us to accelerate that to the next level. Let's not just focus on Cisco, which happens to be a networking
right.
technology. Let's also focus on software development. Let's also focus on information security. Let's also focus on, you know, database management. So we're looking to build a much greater and grander program related to supporting veterans in their return to work.
That's excellent. And now you said there was a second phase. Is this the second phase in your own program that you're developing?
The second phase would be what we're developing with the state of Michigan.
I got you.
And it's not been fully vetted and put together yet, but I know it has governor support. I know it has the Workforce Development Agency support. And it's getting a lot of employer support, which is really the most important thing, right?
Yeah, that's the key.
Right.
Is to have them around. Now, we should talk. By the way, Scott McLean is a vice president of operations at New Horizons Great Lakes. And I've heard of New Horizons for a long time. Generally speaking, you've been a training organization for how long now?
So 25 years in the state
wow.
of Michigan. And it's unique because New Horizons is now a worldwide organization. And our local group, our ownership group of New Horizons, was the very first in the world to be a franchisor. And so now we've been doing business in the state of Michigan for 25 years. We've trained over 14,000 different businesses, so people
wow.
from different businesses in our state. So we've got, I guess, quite a good following. And starting in about early 2000s, we branched out and started doing, we licensed as a proprietary school, which allowed us to train consumers and the veterans that we're working with right now.
I got you. Okay. Cal, you had something?
Yeah, I've done training at New Horizons through a corporate entity and that sort of thing, and it's been really, really an enjoyable experience. I was wondering if you could comment on any training opportunities for the individual person. I'm a person all to myself, and I just want to learn a little bit more about Photoshop, or I want to learn something about Microsoft Word or Outlook.
Right.
Do you offer classes like that where they're not the full-blown one, but something a little more condensed?
Well, we certainly do, and that's actually been more of our bread and butter, is just one person who's looking for one class as opposed to an entire, you know, certification path. So our believe it or not, our most popular training class, whether it's an individual looking to improve their own skills or a corporation sending someone to a training class, is Microsoft Excel. It just happens to be the class that everyone wants to become a little bit better with. It's
yeah.
something that a lot of people have a hard time doing themselves, you know, going on the internet
mm-hmm.
and doing a Google search and, hey, I want to learn how to do this in Excel. It just is, it's a complicated process, and we find a lot of people just would rather come to New Horizons for a day and have an expert instructor walk them through
nice.
What
yeah.
they're really looking to learn.
Well, I'm sure that you have a website that folks can go to yep. find out more information about that. Is that the best way for them to find out those types of classes that are offered for the individual?
It really is. So www.nhgreatlakes.com is our Michigan and I guess our whole Great Lakes-based website. It has all the schedule of all the classes there. It has all the detailed nice. Outlines yep. of each one of the training classes and programs. So that's, you know, that's what we do is a lot of training for a lot of companies, but also for the individuals. We do get pretty in-depth in the types of overall certification programs we do. So just as we were
Excellent.
Talking about with veterans, we focused on this Cisco one and the CCNA, which is the Cisco Certified Networking Associate certification to start with, but we have, you know, beyond networking, we get into security,
right.
cloud computing, software development, and then in some of the softer skills like, you know, project management and business analyst and, mm-hmm. you know, lean and Six
now,
Sigma.
Scott, I noticed that you've got locations in Livonia, Troy, East Lansing, Grand Rapids, and Kalamazoo, so people can go where you can sit down at a desk in a classroom, that kind of a situation. But for some people, that's not possible, either because of where they live or their schedules.
Right.
How about their online classes? I understand you've really broken into that pretty seriously, too, at New Horizon.
Well, we have, and it's actually been a pretty major, almost tectonic shift for our industry and our mm-hmm. business. Is when I, you know, got into the business several years ago, almost every student, let's say 80% of them, came into a classroom, sat in front of the instructor in the same classroom,
right.
and used our computer hardware to go through their training program. Today, it's exactly the opposite. Maybe 20% of our students actually show up in one of our facilities.
I would have thought that it would have been that. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And it's PJs and
factor.
Fuzzy slippers are just the way to go.
Yeah, well, and that's what ends up happening. And unfortunately, you know, I guess a nice consequence of that is our instructors also have that same
yes.
flexibility, right?
I have taught online classes in various states of déshabille, as the French say.
Yeah. So we at least have our instructors using web cameras, so they have to, you know, maybe take the slippers off.
At least from the waist up.
Yeah, know. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, waist up. That's exactly right.
A little
right.
green so, screen behind us with something decorous in the room.
And you know, we're actually experimenting with just that, is green screen technology,
yeah.
so that people, you know, the background, we can actually simulate a computer networking
I love it.
Environment.
I love it. And you can do a lot of things now with the technologies around. Scott, we run out of time here, but I hope to have you back in the near future for a more extended interview that we're going to be putting up on our podcast channel as well. Scott McLean, Vice President of Operations at New Horizons, thanks so much for what you do for veterans and for all the rest of us. Moving right along with our great program today, we have quite a variety on, and we have some folks in studio with us that we said we would have back here because we talked with them on the phone while they were at school. I'm talking about Chardae Rudell, who is Ed's daughter. Chardae, you're so good to have you here.
Thank you. It's so good to be back. Yeah.
Yes, you're back in home now from mm-hmm. your summer break from Grand Valley University.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit before, you're going to start quite an adventure.
I am. I'm going to London in about 7 weeks for an internship.
And what are you going to be doing when you're in London, other than sightseeing? Actually working pretty hard.
Yeah, I am. It's going to be a full work week, 5 days a week. I'm going to be traveling to Essex for most of it, taking the tube for the first time, all that good stuff.
Oh, wow. That sounds like an exciting time of your life. But now, as you said, this is a 40-hour work week. You're going to be paid for this, but there's also a lot of expenses involved in that.
Paid?
Oh, is she getting not getting paid?
No,
I'm not. It's unpaid.
Oh, it's an unpaid
it's
internship.
An internship.
Yeah,
it's an internship.
Well, my grandson just got a paid internship for the summer, so I thought maybe you would.
Well, you know, we were talking about this, and really Gary was talking about this and how hard it is to get get interns for free, because that's really free labor, except for when you're doing engineering, networking, PCs. I mean, these very high demands, you just can't get the students for free
right,
anymore.
Right. So unfortunately, they got you for free. And in addition to that, you got a lot to pay. You got to pay your flight, your freight to get over there.
Yeah.
But then when you're there, you have
living expenses, food expenses, travel expenses,
yeah.
nothing.
And a work visa.
And a work visa. I just got that in the mail the other day, but it cost me a good like $1,200
wow.
to get it processed.
Even though they're not getting paid, they still have to get a work visa.
Now,
and that was a shocker.
All of this is to kind of bring us around to introduce the other person who's in studio here with us, and that's Lauren Elliott. Lauren, good to have you with us. Get close
Hi,
to that microphone.
Thank you.
That's good to have you here. Now, Lauren, you are involved in our conversation here because both of you are using GoFundMe, which is
yes.
a crowdfunding internet site.
Right. Just like Kickstarter might be, exactly. Or Indiegogo. And this is a little different one. Now, who started this first? Whose idea was
she
it?
She did. Sharday did.
Yeah, Sharday. So, and then you kind of looped Lauren in, and she said, I think I could use that too, right?
But you're using it for something very different, aren't you?
Yes. I have horses. I've had horses since I was 13 years old. And I actually just got a new horse. He's very young, in the fall. And he decided to put his foot through the side of a metal shed this winter and had to be rushed to Michigan State University for emergency surgery. And he actually almost passed away. But we were able to save him. And he's actually expected to make a full recovery after racking up like $4,000 in vet bills.
Wow.
So I noticed that Sharday was using it to raise money for her trip to England.
GoFundMe.
And decided that GoFundMe might be a good option to raise some money to help ease those vet bills.
Yeah, and that's how we heard about this, is we actually had someone come on the studio with us, and they were in an emergency situation where their car broke down.
And he was his mother that he was taking care of.
And he was taking care. He was living with his mother, and they had no transportation. He wanted to just raise $1,000 to get a vehicle, and he was successful in doing that. Mm-hmm. So it's really not a lot of money. And a lot of it is based on the social networking aspect of it. It has ties to Facebook, family, and friends. And that's how we primarily used it. I brought it up to Sharday because we went to the website, and you could type in your zip code or your state or maybe a particular cause. And what we found is I typed in my zip code and I found family members in the area that were going through some, you know, horrific things like a death in the family, and they couldn't pay for funeral expenses. The ice storm took out, you know, their basement flooded, and they found out they didn't have medical insurance, they didn't have flood insurance, stuff like this. And really, this was really a disaster for me when I found out how much Charday's trip to London was. And really, the work visa is really what put the icing on the cake to pay $1,200. So, Charday, you put a goal of what? How much on your website?
$1,000, yeah.
That's really going to help her. And Lauren's unexpected expense, when it happened to her, that's the first... In just one day, Lauren, how much did you raise?
I raised... I think in the first day I raised like $300, and then it kind of died off after the third or fourth day, but I think I'm up to almost $900
wow.
As of
excellent.
Right now. But my cap is set at like $2,000, which is only half of what I have to pay out of pocket for his expenses as of now. So.
And people could go through the site, and Lauren, in your case, they might be a horse lover. They may have had a horse that had a similar problem that they weren't able to save. This is their opportunity just to help somebody like you, right? A young
Definitely.
Person that has big bills. And with Sharday, I mean, somebody may say, you know what? We need young people today that are in Michigan, that plan to come back and stay here and work in Michigan, but to get some experience outside. So they may be willing to say, okay, $10, $15, you know, $100.
Yeah, I've had like a bunch of friends. I've shared it on Facebook multiple times, and like each time I share it, like one of my friends who's either starting college, super broke, I don't expect him to donate anything, but they donate like $10. And I'm like, really?
Cool.
And it helps.
Yeah.
It really does. Every little bit does.
All these noble causes with Sharday and Lauren's causes, and you even have cowboy boots. I can back her. She's got cowboy boots on right now.
I made her scrape them when we walked into the building.
Thank God,
you know? I know.
Because Lauren, you're coming from a
horse
show.
I actually volunteer spring and fall to coach junior and high school equestrian team and for our local high school and stuff like that. So I was coming from there dealing with a couple like teenage disasters and stuff like that. So.
Okay. So one of the things we've done at the Internet Advisor Show, internetadvisor.net, what we've done is we've put a link out there for both Lauren's and my daughter Sharday's GoFundMe site, and to take a look at it, see if it's something you're interested in, but also check the check it for yourself. You probably have family or friends get a hold of you through social networking or Twitter or Facebook, and you might find family and friends that you've lost touch with in your zip code area, and they're in the hospital, they have cancer.
Right.
And they have this unexpected
medical. Yeah, Eddie, that is such a good point, because people who are suddenly hit with cancer, my case and many other people's, I mean, I had friends who just flooded donations, and
yes.
they helped us so much.
Yeah, your church
when I got cancer, because I was self-employed, we were just up a great, couldn't pay the mortgage, we couldn't pay anything, and people were helping us in incredible ways there. So,
well, and like,
this is a
like,
great thing for that kind of emergency.
Yeah, like Guido did, right? You know, who we never did find out who he was, an anonymous donor.
Yeah, like, there are some people who have anonymously done this. But the nice thing about this, folks, is, and by the way, what I did was on our homepage, internetadvisor.net, there's a little thing that says all about GoFundMe.
Yes.
If you click on that, that'll take you to a web page where I put down basic information about what GoFundMe is about, but then also some of the reviews, because you want to know, is this legitimate? Is it a good thing?
Yeah.
And girls, how was it when you started this? I mean, was it a very hard process to go to use GoFundMe?
Oh, no. I have an app on my phone, actually. I was able to create the thing on online and just kind of type in a description of my situation and stuff like that, and they have, like, you post a picture, and then it's just up there, and you can post updates and stuff like that, and I can check
the app on
my phone.
Then it's up to you to let people know that it's there by sending out an email and say,
well,
hey.
Well, it automatically gives you the option to share it on Facebook or Twitter or email or whatever.
So. The important part is that you have family and friends, and they tell two friends and share on the social networking. Mm-hmm. And if it's something they're interested in, they'll donate. If not, then they'll share it and pass it on to someone else.
And it's not just, you know, tragedy and sorrow and things like that. There's tons of stuff on there. I'm thinking about putting one up for my Xbox One. I'd like to get an Xbox One. Maybe you know, I can't afford it.
Yeah. It's for fun things. It is for sometimes very serious things. Mm-hmm. And really, the nice thing about it is that you make it happen. It doesn't happen magically. You know, the old thing about with Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. People found with the internet that wasn't necessarily true.
You mean that was just Hollywood?
That was just Hollywood. Because you are one of billions. I did too. But you're one of billions of web pages that are out there.
Yeah.
So what are some of the tricks? What are some of the keys to getting people to pay attention to you then?
Keep updating. Keep sharing it on Facebook and Twitter. I try to do it every 4 or 5 days. I just keep resharing it on Facebook. Say, okay, we're at this much. We're like a fourth of the way there. We need this much. And if you can't donate, then share.
And one of the things Sade is going to do is, because you're going over there for journalism, right?
It's mostly PR, actually.
Public relations.
Yeah.
She's going to keep a journal of what she's doing. Excellent. She'll publish it and provide it for everyone that's shared to her. And so they can learn. And she's going to go through a life-changing event over there.
Oh, yeah.
And she's going to be journaling that. She has her own blog, and she'll be publishing it on there as well.
And I would imagine that you keep, Lauren, you keep people up to date on what's going on with your horse.
Yeah. Actually, it's kind of strange because it feels like there are these moments where you go like 3 weeks and you don't know anything and you're just waiting for something. And then all of a sudden something really big happens and everything changes. And so I try to keep things on the page that kind of keep everything updated on his condition and stuff
good.
Like that.
That's good. By the way, if you go to internetadvisor.net, you will see with both of these young ladies, with Sade and with Lauren, I have a click here to see the site under each one of them. You click on that, it'll take you to their GoFundMe page. And then, folks, if you're interested in something about getting a cause up there for GoFundMe, again, all about GoFundMe, you can click on that right at the bottom of the articles. Ladies, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
And they're going to help us in the second hour by stepping in and doing some screening for us. So we may meet one of them on the phone as well. Thank you very much for doing that. Hey, stand by. Coming up next, Mr. Mike Brennan will be with us. And then we're going to have both Cal and Shane come back with some important things coming up this weekend. It's that time of the program again to introduce you to our headlines from the MI Tech News with the editor, Mike Brennan. How you doing, Mike?
Doing great, Foster. Thanks for asking.
Glad to have you on. I talked with one of your friends, by the way, just before this in the show, Scott McLean from New Horizons, out on that side of the state, as a matter of fact.
Good outfit. Yeah, they do a lot of great stuff, getting tech folks up to speed on all the skills they need.
And a big part of our the requirement out there for jobs in this new era in the state of Michigan. Speaking, by the way, of the economy that's requiring these things, one of your headlines I saw was that economists are saying that Michigan's economy is still expanding and, as a matter of fact, will continue to do so. That certainly is good news. Headline?
Well, when you start from zero, anything that's upward is great, right?
Yeah,
we went through the lost decade and now we seem to be recovering. But one of the things I did say is we lost, 856,000 jobs. And so far, we've gained back 281,000, and I think by the end of 2016, we'll be up to around 463. So even with all this growth, we'll still be about 400,000 jobs down.
So, but the good news is, as you said, is that the curve is going in the other direction.
Yeah, we got hammered for 10 years, and now we're going back up, and that's a good thing. I mean, it helps everything. Taxes increase. We have money to put into the roads, into the schools, into everything.
So. And we're starting to get the people into that pipeline, that training pipeline as well. Well, one of the other things you had as a headline, and boy, this is something, Gary, you should be proud of, is that the online tech, we've had Jan Ness on a number of times, have acquired an Indianapolis data center. And,
first time outside the state of Michigan, they wouldn't say exactly how much they spent, but they said that their investment in the property, the upgrades and the servers will come out around $10 million.
Wow. And it's huge because, Gary, is my understanding, they're doing what they've done in the state of Michigan with having these hardened data centers that people can bring their data in. Essentially, it's the ground floor of a cloud.
Yeah, they're doing tremendously well. Certainly way, way better than when I started and owned it. So thank God I was smart enough to sell to them because they're doing a great job for the firm, their clients, and the state of Michigan.
They really read the tea leaves well, didn't
Gary,
they?
Gary, were you smart enough to keep a small piece of the action?
I only wish.
Okay.
Oh, well, it's still good news for us here in the state of Michigan when our companies are beginning to expand out of state as well. Now, one of the other headlines I saw was kind of interesting was that the Internet of Things poses risks. You know, that Internet that's now including the refrigerator and the stove and the TV. There are rewards, of course, but there's some risks involved in this, according to some securities experts who have looked into this.
Well, Dan Lorman, in fact, the Michigan Chief Security Officer for the state, was at the InfraGuide Great Lakes Regional Conference in Davenport this week, Davenport College, and he did a post-lunch look-see at what's going on. You know, it's great that everything's getting connected. It provides incredible ease and efficiency, but all the stuff that's the appliances and things like that tend to have very bad security.
Yes.
And so very easily hackable. I don't know whether hacking your refrigerator would get you much. But I mean, but you could use it as a backdoor to get into your household network and from there into your computer and things like that.
Right.
So.
Right, and that is some of the concerns. Well, folks, headlines like this that you're hearing right now with the editor himself, Mike Brennan, the kind of things you can get delivered to your computer screen absolutely free every Friday. And it's not only these headlines, but many more. They have to do with things that are going on in technology on an international and national level, our state level. And also, if you're an entrepreneur, it's a great way to find out about meetings that are coming up and also about funding sources and ways of getting you in touch with that crowd of people who are very important to your continuing on. And there's more and more audio content that's being available there with your when you have your Michigan Technology News sent to you every Friday. So as a matter of fact, you get links to many of the elements that are in our program right now and don't have to worry about going out and get a podcast. It's going to be right there inside that Michigan Technology News. So how do you get this? Well, it costs you $0.00. All you got to do is go to internetadvisor.net, scroll down the page, look for Mike's smiling face, and right below it, there's a button you can click on, and it'll take you right to the page where you can subscribe. And it's a very easy process of putting in just your email address and phone number, and boom, you're on your way. All for nothing, and you got a lot of great headlines like this one. LTU, Lawrence Technology University, is hosting the Engineering Smart Competition for high school students who, I imagine, are pretty smart themselves.
I imagine. They're also looking for judges for the competition on May 27th.
Mm.
And they're asking for any folks out there that have an engineering background, skilled people like Gary Baker, who can step in and judge these competitions of these high school engineers, you know, right, Gary?
Do I hear a nudge?
Like, you know, I'll pay you the same amount I paid you last time for that kind of comment. Is that,
okay,
that good?
All
okay,
right.
All right.
But that's coming up at Lawrence Technology University, and it's coming up near the end of the month, right?
End of the month, yeah. The kids are designing things like smart homes that we just talked about. There's a threat there when they do that, right? But, I mean, it's really good. I mean, the kids these days are just amazing how smart they are.
Yep.
I'll throw in a plug for my son, who's a sophomore engineering student out in New Jersey at Stevens Tech, and the kinds of stuff that he's into – geez, I didn't learn until I was well into my 40s. So.
Yeah, it's amazing what's going on. And we had the kids on from the first robotics competition and those winners there. One of them, Cameron Razdar, who was he's the captain of the team. Turns out that he was thinking of going to U of M, Gary, no slouch there. But he says, maybe I'll go to MIT since they approached him with, I think, a scholarship offer.
Okay, I certainly would do that too.
I think I might consider that. So we have a lot of very smart kids who are being drawn into science and technology. Well, Mike, thank you very much for sharing those headlines with us. Again, folks, it's easy as pie getting this. Simply go to our page, internetadvisor.net, scroll down the page, and subscribe for $0.00, and you get a lot of really good information. Mike, thanks so much for being with us, sir.
Thanks, Foster. Thanks, Gary.
Take care. Have a good week.
Take care, Mike.
Listen, by the way, Shane, I want to get you involved in the conversation. And Cal, first, a very quick thing about the Mac Group this weekend. Something happening tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, of course. Our monthly Mac Group meeting is taking place tomorrow, May 18th at 3 p.m. at the Birmingham Temple. You can get all the directions at macgroup.org, and you can also link to that off internetadvisor.net. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Mac OS and iOS and tips and tricks for all those things about it.
And one tip you could give right away is about the update.
Yes, there was a release of an update for Mavericks in the past couple of days. So you want to take your Mac and connect it to the
Pretty
internet.
Pretty big one, too.
Hit update.
It wasn't the time. It took a little while. You can sit back for about 20 minutes.
It's not too bad, but yeah, it takes
a few
minutes.
It's a thorough update.
Always do is I run my backup first. Even though this update is not that intrusive, but I run my backup first and then fire up the update, go upstairs, have my dinner, come back down, the update's done, fire it back up, make sure everything's working the way I want it to do, and
boom,
enjoy the day.
On your way. By the way, if you go, I went to the last Mac Group meeting. The lovely thing about that is that the Genius Bar that's there, if you go there at 2 o'clock, between 2 and 3, really, really helpful people. And they'll just dig in. Matter of fact, helped me tremendously with the problem I was having.
And you can even bring your computer
well,
with
that was the
you
key.
If you want to.
I brought my laptop with me. Yeah, that's a good thing to do.
Laptops, desktops, whatever you want to bring, just bring them with you. And the geniuses will be glad to talk to you.
And did they help you with your slowness on your
device? Yes, they did. And he did a number of things. And what it turned out is the hard drive itself is just slow. It's only running.
Oh, it's the wrong RPM.
It's the wrong RPM, and then I'm going to be putting in when I get the money a solid state drive, and that should improve important performance by about 40% instantly. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, Shane,
yes,
you got a big weekend coming up. Kind of links to what we talked about at the beginning. You're going to be.
I'm going to be at Comic Con tomorrow, Sunday. It's open from 10:30 to 5. I'll be there most of the day, if not all day.
Out in Novi.
Yep, and if you see me, I've got a gift for you. It's going to be a flash drive. Just spot me and say you're a fan of the Internet Advisor Show.
That's
and I'll give you. You can identify me. Go to our website, and you can also notice us from the hair. Right?
I was going to say the spiked hair.
How much for the autograph? How much are you autographs?
I'll give them $2 if they ask me for an autograph. No, really. But
I'll give them a flash drive if they ask.
Just a fan. Just go to our website and see what I look like. Check out my mugshot. And then find me at Comic-Con tomorrow.
He's a big dude. You would have a hard time missing it. But
correct.
That's the mugshot to put with the big dudes around there. Okay, guys, take a break. Get yourself something good to drink, sip on, or munch on, and we will be back in about 6 minutes with our second hour of the program, which is your questions at 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at www.internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, plus other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage and send us an email with the details. Don't forget to look for us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour.
Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor, and that's when we go to work for you. You call us with your questions. We get busy with the four experts who are in here, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, Cal Carson, and Shane Hamlin, and we do our very best to answer your questions. 800-859-0957 is the toll-free number to call. 800-859-0957, and we have some celebrity call screeners this afternoon as well. Thank you so much for joining us here for hour number two. We have our four experts in studio ready to answer your questions, and we'll be getting to Craig and
where
Bob
are
in a moment.
Where are those experts? I just see us.
This is where you get to prove that you are the experts.
And I'm shooting blind because I can't see what what we got coming ahead of us. So.
Oh, they'll let you know.
Okay, there we go.
All right, that's Gene Hamlin. We've got Cal Carson in studio with us, Eddie Rudell, and of course, the man, Gary Baker, our internet advisor, myself, Foster Brown.
Me too now.
And we got some folks lined up. As I said, Craig and Bob will be with you in just a second. Shane, you're going to be doing something tomorrow. It's kind of fun. We want to remind people about who can get there tomorrow to the Expo Center in Novi.
In Novi. Showcase Center, yep, at Novi. Mm-hmm. Comic-Con, 25th anniversary. You find the Shatner. Cool. William Shatner will be there.
Our guest, Mark Wade, from earlier, last hour.
Yep.
So comic authors, writing stuff, you know, that you've, Spider-Man and things
Ernie Hudson.
Oh, yeah.
Of Ghostbusters fame will be there.
Oh, that's
I can
right.
see people there now. Where is Shane Hamlin?
Yes.
Well, that will be the key.
Head over to our website, internetadvisor.net. Look at my mugshot. If you see me while I'm walking around, I'll be there all day. Just say you're a fan of the show, Internet Advisors, and I'll give you a thumb drive or a flash drive, whichever you like to call it.
Yeah. Nicely done.
Well, you have on a striped hat and a... No.
Just
no,
look
no,
for
no.
the big guy with spiked hair. Yeah. Can't miss
no, Waldo there, is somewhere
there,
else.
There'll only be one person like that there.
That's it. Just me. Okay, the rest of the people will have, you know, they'll be dressed as, you know, The Flash or Wonder Woman or... Not me. Super Shane.
Hey, by the way, thank you very much to our two special screeners who are today. Annie Nichols is off, and we have Sade Rudell and Lauren Elliott who are helping to answer the phones. Thank you very much, ladies. They're the sweet voices. They were here during the first hour talking about their GoFunding programs, and you can find out about that at Internet Advisor and maybe give them a few dollars to help in their causes. And they're also setting up calls with people like Bob, who is calling us from Farmington. Hi, Bob. How you doing?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm doing good. Hi,
okay,
how
good.
Are you?
What can we help you with? Thank you.
I have Windows XP with Windows 8, and I'm not able to get to, like, iHeartRadio so I can listen to WJR on the radio anymore. I also wanted to know if you could give me the best protection that's available for the Windows XP.
Boy, it doesn't come from Microsoft anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know that.
I'm thinking, didn't I see that Norton has declared that they're going to keep up protection?
Well, I think the antivirus programs, so even Microsoft Security Essentials will be kept up to date.
For an additional year, wasn't it?
For an additional year. I think.
But no one is going to patch the operating system.
They don't have
the source code to patch the operating system.
You're still going to have your issue with not being able to do iHeartRadio and those things because your browser's outdated, your Flash is outdated, your Java's outdated, and those things you can't change.
Oh, is that
change.
Why he can't get to iHeart?
Probably.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know about that necessarily.
He's on, Internet Explorer 8.
Right.
And he can't...
Yeah, I have 8.
And most all web, you know, stream is minimum 9 now.
Yeah, well, they're trying to upgrade that stream, right? Yeah.
Now,
so that's why they're getting rid of the old technology.
Now, is it possible that if he was to use Mozilla Firefox and then attempt to reinstall, the plugins for that, like Java and stuff like that.
They have a whole
like
brand
that.
New set of plugins, by the way.
Yeah, that it might just work if he uses an alternate browser.
That's a good point.
You might.
Mm-hmm.
What browser are you using, Bob?
I'm using Windows 8, Microsoft.
Yeah, Internet Explorer 8.
Yep. You're using Internet Explorer.
Yeah, Explorer.
Have you tried to use an alternate browser like Chrome or Mozilla Firefox?
I have not.
You might try that.
I tried Chrome, but Chrome didn't work, and I'm a novice. Oh. I'm not like you guys, professional.
Chrome didn't work? All right, Cal, thoughts?
Well, according to the iHeartRadio Help Center, you can use Internet Explorer 8 and above. You can use Firefox 2.4 and above. You can use Safari 5.1.9 and above. And you can use Google Chrome 2.8 and above. And you must have Flash Player 10 or above that goes along with those.
So he already had Internet Explorer 8. So one of the things he may have to do...
Well, but there's one other thing here, too, if I can interrupt, is that if you have Internet Explorer 8, maybe you're going to say this. Go ahead. Finish.
No. Oh. I was going to say that a lot of times additional plugins like the Yahoo Toolbar and all these McAfee security blocker or site blocker, a lot of the additional add-ons within Internet Explorer and the toolbars will, you know, basically disable you from having full functionality.
Oh. And Ed is on right on that particular path. On that same page on iHeart.com, they also talk about Internet Explorer 8. If you're having trouble accessing iHeartRadio, there are some things in the compatibility view settings that you need to remove or add. And you can go to that website, and they'll tell you exactly what you need to do.
So you're having a trouble, but you're having trouble to get to the website. So here's what we would suggest you do. Try downloading an alternate browser. Now, you said Chrome didn't work for you?
Yeah, I had problems with Chrome, so.
Okay, try try Firefox and see if that works.
Cal? Well, his browser is working. It's just not working with iHeartRadio, right?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, yeah. So go to iHeartRadio's Help Center at their website. It's help.iHeart.com. And it can tell you exactly what you need to do to set up your browser.
Okay?
Okay.
Try that out.
Thank see
if it
much.
Works for you. And yeah, and let us know. And send us an email during the week and let us know how that worked for you. We can pass that information on. A lot of people out there, folks, are you listening? If you stay on XP, you're going to begin to experience more of these kind of problems. Not a scare tactic, just telling you that may be one of the things that's going to happen for you. Okay, the number is 800-859-0957. And Craig, you're up next. Thanks a lot for being here with us. By the way, internetadvisor.net is our homepage, and we just chock that full of all sorts of good information for you. So if you've been following the program, when we have a guest on and they mention a site or they have links there, for instance, with New Horizons, we put some links in there so you can find out about that special training program for the military that they're developing and about all their other courses as well. You can hear, you can find all sorts of things about the GoFundMe application and lots of other good things, including advice from the folks that we have in here. And Shane, you got a piece to add on.
Well, Bob, our last caller, and I don't do this a lot, but you know, he was talking about his XP machine, and, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to get into it and say, well, you should just upgrade. You know, that's always the common answer. But you know,
well, it's the right answer.
It's the right. Yeah. It is. But you know, some people just don't want to do it because they've got an old CAD program or something that they're holding on to. But if you wanted to upgrade to a Windows 7 Pro machine or an XP or a Windows 8 machine, where I work, CompTech Services in Sterling Heights, mm-hmm. At the end of the month, May 30th and 31st, which is a Friday and Saturday, we are bringing all your recycled electronics, you know, desktops, laptops, printers, screens, LCDs, mm-hmm. CRTs, all that mm-hmm. stuff, and we'll give you $30 towards the purchase of a new machine, a newer machine. Now, we offer off-lease machines with Windows 7 Pro.
Yep, that's important to know.
Which is nice. And then we offer also brand new machines with Windows 8. So we have both options for you.
Explain what off-lease means, just quickly.
You know, like a company of Beaumont, say, for instance, they, you know, they'll lease, you know, 20 laptops for their nurses, mobile nurses stations.
Right.
After 18 months, most of those come back. They offer them to partners like us. And they're usually all A and B grade. We only purchase the A grade ones, which are mint condition.
Right.
And then we reload them with Windows 7 Pro, and boom, ready to go.
I'm sorry. I'm just chuckling to myself. I just can imagine the number of bagel crumbs in keyboards. So A does not come with bagel crumbs.
No. But, you know, the great thing.
There's a full meal on a C.
Yeah, you'll find no bagel crumbs. These are mint condition. I mean, they're really good. And the great thing about off-lease machines, and people don't know, is it's not like a used machine or a refurbished machine. They're always considered business-grade machines. Yeah, so you're getting better quality parts
to start
at a cheaper price because it's an off-lease. Almost 50%.
Yeah.
So
it's incredible. Yeah, that's it.
And, you know, Shane mentioned something in that whole thing that he talked about, and it's like if you have an XP machine and you've got a particular application that you just have to run on it, just because we say it's time for you to look at a better machine doesn't mean you have to throw out that old XP machine. All you have to do is unplug it from the net so you don't have to worry about having any problems going to it. Run it as a standalone machine till the wheels fall off if you want to.
Right.
But if you really want to be a participant in the internet and the experience that's going on, to be able to continue to use applications that come out like the gentleman with iHeartRadio and that sort of thing, you're going to have to step it up a little bit, and that requires going to a newer machine.
And that also allows you the time, because it's not an immediate switchover, it also allows you the time to work out any issues like, my program's working here, I really want to get it working over there, and if it doesn't, I need to find an alternative. But until then, it's still running on the original
machine.
And
there are other solutions to that.
A smooth, easy transition.
Good. Very good advice, guys. Okay, let's go. By the way, our phone number again, toll-free, 800-859-0957. And thanks to Chardé Rudell, by the way, who, along with Lauren Elliott, is answering the calls back there. And Craig from Shelby, Ohio, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Thanks for being with us, and what can we do for you?
Absolutely. You guys are the best. Gary, Ed, Foster, and Cal.
And Shane as well.
Yeah, I'm here.
Shane is here as well. What can we do for you?
I've been listening to you guys bumping 4 years now, and the advice that you guys have given me has been priceless. And I mentioned last week, I think, that what happened to my Gateway Mini is it crashed, and I think I misstated the issue, is that I'm not so much worried about getting the stuff back as I am to getting it, my gateway back to Windows. And right now I'm just doing CPR on it. And I've gotten into DOS, it went back to Windows, went back to DOS, went back to Windows, and somehow I was able to freeze a DOS page. Here's what I think I did.
Okay.
Here's what I think I did. When I went in to clean up, install and uninstall, I thought I was uninstalling Real Player, and I think what I did was I uninstalled a Realtek driver.
That could be.
Mm-hmm.
Realtek is Shane, remind me, is that modem or sound?
Could be multiple different devices, sound, modem, network, Ethernet, LAN, those kind of things.
Did you ever find out, Bob, if you were able...
Craig,
were you ever able to get into safe mode? Because that was one of the things we were discussing last week. Craig called last week with this issue. So you were able to get into safe mode. One of the things you can do is a system restore or the Wayback Machine and tell it to go back to the way it perform a system restore back to this date, a week ago, 9 days ago.
Or
a month ago. Usually when you're uninstalling programs, Microsoft Windows will create a restore point and right to the point before you actually uninstall that program. And I'm sorry I did not remember that last week. So are you able to, if you are able to get in the safe mode, you should be able to perform a system restore.
I did that, and I went into restore, and it didn't work.
Oh.
Multiple restores?
The other question pardon me?
Multiple restores? Did you try other restore points as possibly?
You couldn't get any.
I was lucky to get back into that restore point, period.
Oh, okay. Oh, afterwards, it weren't that bad. Okay. I gotcha.
And my other question was that a friend of mine has a Windows 7, a CD, and she's got, like, another space on it that it can go to another computer.
Oh.
And, yeah. And one of the things, I made some notes here, it says that Windows failed to start where software change might be or cause. Insert your Windows installation disk, restart your computer, choose settings, click repair computer. Could I get an external CD-ROM to plug into my USB?
Oh, yeah.
Load that 7 into that CD-ROM into my computer or my gateway.
Hmm.
Would that correct it, do you think?
Wouldn't you have to go into the boot drive to make sure that it booted to that?
Well, what do you have? You have 7 right now, correct?
Basic, yeah.
Okay, so you have 7. As long as you've got the same, you know, compatible version of Windows 7, you can plug in an external DVD-ROM.
Okay.
And just when you reboot it, hit the F12 key normally. It will get you to a boot device options.
Okay,
select the USB device.
Right.
And then make sure you get on that tap, that space bar, you know, when you see, you know, to load this CD, you know, hit any key, and that'll boot right to that CD. And then run it just like you're doing a normal setup, and it'll get to a point where it'll say repair, and then hit that repair button.
Okay,
guys. My next question is, because I'm running out of time, because I'm looking for a job,
gotcha,
and it's hugely important to have, you know, have some type of internet device to get apply for a job. If I went online and if I went into like an eBay or something like that, because I see there's other items similar to mine that's on, you know, on sale for eBay.
Mm-hmm.
What's the security for what like a refurbished machine is? I'd never ask that question.
So how secure is it going to eBay, guys, to purchase
and
use?
No, not that.
Oh, sorry?
Not that. If I bought something,
yes,
you know, how do I know that that device, because I saw something last week, I think it was on 2020, John Stossel was talking about how...
You want to know if it's safe.
Yeah, I heard this exactly. The same report.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't, and that's the thing. Anytime you make a purchase online, you always have to be buyer beware.
Caveat emptor.
Yep. You don't know what you're getting. You might want to find a local mom-and-pop computer store.
Yeah.
Well, and there is one. If you are you in, did you say you're Lake Orion?
No, I think in Shelby, Ohio.
Oh, Shelby, Ohio.
Shelby,
okay.
And that's the problem. Is that it seems like when the Windows 7 thing just came to be an issue, it's like everybody's behind, 3 and 5 days behind as far as updating, changing.
Okay,
at least in this area.
Cal, you had a thought?
Now, here's what you can do. If you do decide to buy one online, that's fine and dandy. If they ship it to you with the manufacturer's Windows CD along with it, when you get that machine, if you want to assure yourself you could get the machine, wipe it, reload the operating system directly yourself to make sure everything is the way it should be,
there you go.
And then proceed on forward with that.
And it sounds like he could do that right now.
When you wipe it, it's just a reformat, right?
Yep.
Yes. And it sounds like he could do that right now because he has a spare Windows 7 license, and if the repair fails, he could just attempt to reinstall it. It'll upgrade it to a spare license that his friend had.
Right.
And have a functional computer.
Wife. Craig, take a crack at that. I think that sounds like a good idea. Get that external drive and try to do it at that way. So thanks so much for calling us, Craig, and I hope that works out for you. Let us know. Let me take a moment to salute the folks behind the glass, a very special group. Rich Rosinski, who's been doing a tremendous amount of stuff back there. Thanks, Rich, so much for all you do as our engineer. And as well, we have some special folks who are answering the phone.
Yeah, We've got celebrity answers.
Yeah, that's right. Shardae Riddell, Ed's daughter, and Lauren Elliott, her friend from up in the Oxford Way. Thank you very much.
Thanks
for helping out.
Let me see if I can understand this. Are you saying that Annie Nichols is so intense that it takes two people to do the job she does?
She's at Comic-Con. That's a problem.
Yeah. That's it. That's where she is.
I wonder what costume she's wearing.
She is a very skilled DJ as well, and I think, as a matter of fact, she may be downstairs doing a program there, or she works at another radio station as well. So, Annie, we miss you. And she's going to be off a few times in the near future, but thanks to the ladies who are helping to answer our phones right now. So let's go to Bob, who is with us from Lake Orion. And, Bob, you have a question about Windows 8. Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hey, you guys, great show, as always. I have a brand-new laptop I haven't taken out of the box.
Okay.
It has Windows 8.0.
Okay, 8.1, and, good. Okay.
And I was told there's a lot of pitfalls with it from my one with XP, being Sunset.
Bah humbug. But, Eddie, you had something you want to say?
No, not me. I mean, if it's in the box, it's like it's going to be like Christmas. You're going to open it up and... Yeah. And Shane, you know, you deal with customers on a daily basis.
Yes, I do.
And you try to find out what fits them. I'll let you discuss this one.
It was funny when he mentioned, I don't know if I like it. Everyone's mic went up. Boop, 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 boop. So everyone's ready to comment on that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? Give it a try. You know, most people, when I talk to them and they say, well, I don't like that Windows 8. I said, well, what don't you like about it? And they go, well, I really don't know because I haven't used it. And I said, that's just what my brother-in-law said or my cousin. Yeah. You know what? Just try it.
You know what? How old are you? If you're under 25, you'll love it. If you're between 25 and 35, you'll kind of think it's okay because you're okay with change. If you're over 35, you're no fogey. You don't like it because you don't like change, right?
You hit the nail on the head there.
Over 35.
So you know. So the point is, and I'm not talking about a chronological age. I'm talking about how you think about technology. Because when you first picked up a smartphone, it was different than a regular dial telephone.
Lord.
It changed. The interface was different. When you picked up your first tablet, it was different than your computer. This is a cross between a tablet and a computer. The interface is different.
I got to tell you, Bob, when he was talking about this, I do reviews of different phones and machines. I just turned back into 1520 the Lumia, and I'll be reviewing it next week on the air. Mm-hmm. But I go through this time at every time I get a new machine. It's, oh my God, it's a Windows phone. How do I make that work? You know, I'm doing it all the time. Ed?
Now, the first thing, if you have not opened the box, I just thought of this question. The first thing I want to ask, is it touchscreen? Because users that do not have
a
touchscreen,
that's a good point,
do hate it. Right, yes. So if the only interface you have is a mouse because you mistakenly or someone purchased for you a Windows X machine that does not have a touchscreen, I would take it back and spend and get your money back to get a machine, a Windows 8, with a touchscreen.
Does it have a touchscreen?
It's a cross between
it's a mouse-oriented.
Yeah,
Ed makes a good point.
I believe Ed's exactly right. Yep. This interface is built for touchscreen. It's built for a tablet crossed with a computer.
I mean, there are just some things that are easier to do. You know, I can use 80-90%. 80-90% I could do what I want to with the mouse.
Cal?
Well, I'm not being a Windows person, but hearing the words about the Windows stuff.
Well, but they don't have touch screens for the Mac.
Okay, but right?
Okay.
And for a good reason.
No. But, you know the biggest problem with the touch screen?
No.
Is because it makes so much sense that I try to touch my computer at work the same way because you want to do it that way. It makes sense.
Once you get
used to it.
I got up to check and see if that, you were and what mode you're in.
Yeah, there's fingerprints.
Yeah,
there's fingerprints on my computer at work because it's not a touchscreen.
Cal, was there a thought you were trying to finish?
There was actually something valid here. Gary woke up.
Okay.
Okay, here's the deal. I just, and you guys around me correct me. The upgrade from Windows 8 to 8.1 allows it to operate more as a desktop machine, if you so desire,
yes.
correct?
Yes, and correct. I use it at home with my wife. Her desktop has that mouse only, and it is much easier to use now.
So I would suggest to you that when you do take it out the box, the first thing you want to do is make sure you upgrade it up to 8.1 before you do anything else.
And it'll do that automatically, I know.
Yes.
Right. And then once you do that, then start to assess what the experience is all about. And if it okay. still doesn't seem to work right for you within those, I don't know, most computer places, within 10 days, you can take that rascal back, right. give them an extra $20 and get that touchscreen if you want.
So we've covered the bases. We said keep it, right. turn it in, and the other one said try it. So.
Try it. Love it. Live it. Yeah. You know, don't worry about it.
Bless you guys, and thank you for such a good show.
By the way, Bob, what brand did you buy? I'm just curious.
It's a Toshiba.
A Toshiba. I would also suggest something else. In this case, with a Toshiba, I think there's some concerns there because Toshiba has stopped making... Am I right on that?
No, it was Sony that stopped.
Oh, Sony. I beg your pardon. Thank you for stopping me then.
Sony doesn't make a laptop anymore.
Okay. Yeah. That was what I was thinking of. Bob, all the rest of the
thank
advice,
you
take
much.
The rest
have
of that ignore.
Have a great weekend, you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, we really appreciate your calling in. Thank you so much. All right, let's go to, let's see, line number three. We have a celebrity on there on line number three.
Ooh,
hi, Meredith.
That.
Welcome to the program.
Hi. Hello.
Hey, it's Daughter's Day.
That's
right.
Is.
Meredith is
Daddy Daughter Day.
Cal's
Lauren,
daughter.
Please call.
Okay, Meredith, Cal's daughter is with us. Meredith, what can we do for you here that your dad couldn't do at home?
I actually had a question about, I have my laptop, and I wanted to know, because I'm cheap, I wanted to know if there was a way for me to get media that I see on my laptop, like off of YouTube or on iTunes that I have movies I've downloaded. If there was a way I could hardwire that into my flat screen TV.
Sure.
No.
Well, you could do better than hardwire.
Go ahead.
This is your daughter.
This is your daughter, Daddy.
Hey, listen. Dad's taking a day off. Go ahead.
So because, Meredith, I know you have an Apple because you're Cal's daughter.
Right.
Have you tried Apple TV?
I'm cheap, so
you're
no.
You're cheap, so no. Okay.
That's $100. It's not bad, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think she can use AirPlay through the modem, through the wireless to be able to project it on television. So that's a possibility, too, which we should look into.
Yeah,
we should do a show on that.
Meredith, what version of Mac are you running?
It's very old. I don't even know if it's Snow Leopard or not. It's old.
Well, if you upgrade, am I right on this? If you upgrade to...
The cobbler's kids don't wear shoes.
I know. But could she upgrade to... the machine she has.
Yeah, she could. We could probably upgrade it up a level at least. Too,
for
$29.
Yeah.
For $29, which is not much. And then you don't have to use wires at all. You can just use AirPlay, which will go through your wireless modem.
Okay, but how does AirPlay tie in with your TV?
You play it... when you hit AirPlay... It then automatically casts it onto your screen, your TV screen.
But how? You need something, the receiver on the TV, plugged into the TV?
Yes. She'll need the Apple TV plugged into the back of the television, and she can AirPlay from her Mac.
Oh, so you do need an Apple TV.
So the hardwire would be from the TV to the modem.
She wants to hardwire this so
but
that she can
just... But the laptop itself would not need
have to be hardwired.
No, if she wanted to hardwire her MacBook directly into the television, she can use a VGA dongle connected to the side of the MacBook, and then from the MacBook through a VGA cable directly to the side of the TV.
To the HDMI on the back of the TV.
To the VGA input on the TV.
No. It depends on the kind of TV. For instance, if you have an HDMI...
Hers has both.
Oh, it has both.
Or we could use an HDMI... We could use a dongle that goes from the DVI port to the HDMI, to HDMI on it, and then plug it in with HDMI.
The bottom line is, if you go into the Apple Store, and you used to work there, I know you can do that, you can probably find, I think for $30, you can find those dongles.
Yes. It
will help you to make the connection. So that's not much of an investment.
Meredith, I think this was masterful. I have to congratulate you. You have just now, in front of 500,000 people or so, got your dad to commit to helping you tonight to do this. Wonderful job.
I'm actually really happy about that.
We'll check with him next week.
Dad has that resigned.
Call us back if you can't get your father to help you here.
And I'm sure there's some barbecue ribs and potatoes in there somewhere for dinner.
Just amazed that Kelly's daughter's using
Meredith,
an
thanks
older
for
Mac.
Calling in here and making this a fun show.
She's on her way to Comic-Con. Right, have a good time. Oh, we'll talk to you later.
There you go. Very good.
You know, I was going to add to that is if she has an Xbox or even a PS2 or PS3, she can use that as a media streamer with her Apple as well.
Actually, she has a Wii, so we'll try playing it
that'll
way.
That'll work, too.
You know, one of the things we're talking about, folks, and just take a moment to talk about this because it's all part of this kind of cutting the cord scenario, too, is that people are finding ways of getting the video off of their internet connection onto their TVs. Mm-hmm. And there are more and more ways of doing that. The Roku box, by the way, and I have an Apple TV. I am sorely tempted to buy a Roku box for like $89, I think it is.
And if you don't need the latest one, you can buy them a lot cheaper.
Oh, yeah. Right. But, I mean, it has everything in terms of, it's got thousands of channels. Yeah. Whereas the Apple TV has a clunky interface, Cal. I'm hoping that when WWDC comes up next month, they really make a change in that.
It's possible.
They have a limited number of channels, too. So, anyhow, that's become a real big thing. All right, now, in just a moment, we're going to be talking with Joanne and Dennis, and your call, too, at 800-859-0957 to round out this program. Well, it's been a wonderful program today, and my sincere thanks to all the guys here who have been helping. I would like to point one thing out to you at InternetAdvisor.net. If you scroll down the page to that part where under Hour 2 and you see our smiling faces there, don't forget to look for Shane's face because that's the one that will get
Comic-Con, you a flash. Comic-Con tomorrow down in Novi. Convention Center there from 10:30 to 5. I'll be there most of the day.
Okay.
If you find me, I'll give you a flash drive. Just so you're a fan of the show.
And there you go. Now, just below his smiling face, you see something that says, what you should know about net neutrality. A hugely important issue. And what I did there was I put a link to the background on the net neutrality debate, and then below that, there is a petition that has been circulated. I think it's a very good one. Take a look at it and sign it. And that will send a petition to the FCC about net neutrality. So I just encourage you to read both those things. And if you're so moved, and to send that petition on, as I did earlier on today.
Ready? And that's a web-based?
These are web-based. And you put in your name, et cetera, and boom, it's off.
Excellent.
And it's excellent. So the first one is to let you know some of the issues. And the second one, if you agree, then we'll be to go on to that petition and sign it. And I would certainly hope that you would. Very, very, very important issue that we're going to be seeing debated back and forth over the next 4 months that there's a period for this commentary going on.
Yep. And one of the things you want to say is, like, I'm calling to ask, or I'm writing to ask the FCC to reclassify internet service providers as Title II common carriers.
And that's one of the solutions.
That's one of the solutions.
There are problems that come with that. But anyway, there's a beginning there for you to make those kind of things known. Okay, good. It's a very important issue. We're going to keep on letting people know about it. Okay, let's go to our lines. And Peter from Belleville, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you? Hello, Peter. Thank you very much, sir. How are you doing?
Doing fine.
All right.
I'm looking to replace my XP laptop.
Okay.
And I'd like to know your views on a Google Chrome laptop.
To explain for folks out there what Peter's talking about, and these, by the way, the price point on these things is something I think that people are finding very attractive.
Absolutely.
Like $275, $300, is that about what you're seeing?
I'm seeing $250.
Yeah, $250. And they're coming, and these are decent machines. The reason they don't cost that much is because the Google Chrome operating system, not the browser, the operating system is cloud-based. So you have to have an internet connection. If you don't, you can't get to these applications, my understanding. Now, has anybody here had a hands-on with a Google Chrome machine?
No, not in like 3 years.
I haven't done that, and I've got to get one to see if I can just try it out. Maybe we'll see if we can get a machine here for people. Have you seen any come through your shop?
No, not at all. In fact, I was just talking about it this week. Where are they? What happened? I mean, they just kind of faded away.
But they're coming back. They're coming back now. Very strong.
Yeah, I guess.
I know a couple people that love them.
Yep.
But I've not actually played with one.
So my sense is that when you get it, you have to have a good internet connection. When you open
it
up, you have to have a connection, Peter. When you open it up, then you are able then to connect to, for instance, Google Documents. And they have their own brands of a word processor, Excel-like spreadsheet.
Yeah, tons of stuff.
And by the way, I got to tell you something. I'd never used Google Docs before. I sent these guys a message on there, and it was brilliant. It took me, I didn't have any kind of learning curve using that document, and it did a great job of editing it online.
It's very similar to Microsoft Office Suite.
Very similar.
It transparently integrates sharing capability into people that you send email addresses to.
Yep.
This is what Microsoft should have done 10 years ago, and it took Google to come up with it.
Well, and they're starting to now.
Yes, they are.
But, you know, remember Paul Thurrott?
Yes. Google Supersite. Win Supersite. Yep.
So, Win Supersite, he did a great article on replacing XP with Google offers a lifeline to XP users and using Chrome. It's actually a pretty interesting article. Didn't get a chance to read the whole thing because it's extensive, but it's winsupersite.com. Mm-hmm. And so that may be something, Peter, that you might want to read before you go.
Peter, I will try to post that after our program. Make sure that I get that link up under the second hour. It's Paul Thurrott, Thurott. Two R's. And it's Win Supersite. That's it. Winsupersite.com.
Yeah, two R's, two T's.
But you go to winsupersite.com and look up that article on Google OS replacing the Windows operating systems.
Now, one thing I will say, I purchased for my son, his laptop took a dive when he was in Grand Valley State University. So
was that a gravity event?
That was a hinge event. There was nothing.
Oh, that's right. That hinge event. That's right.
So what I did is I went onto Amazon.com, found a sale that they were having with a Lenovo, and was able for $311 purchase a Lenovo Windows 8 touchscreen, 11-inch, which is about the same size as a Chromebook, 11.2 inches, and sent it to him. And he was happy. You know, it's like, it's kind of small, Dad. And, you know, but, you know, because he bought himself a 15-inch. But it worked fine for him and until we can get his other unit serviced.
So, Peter, yes, it's out there. Some people would say it's a very good alternative. We can't personally give you any advice on the based on hands-on. I'm going to try to remedy that very soon.
Yeah, we should.
But the other thing is that sales for these Chromebooks has gone through the roof in the last quarter.
Probably for this reason.
The price point? Yeah. The price point for people who are on Windows XP. So we'll try to get more information for you, okay?
Okay, I understand that there's nothing on my existing laptop can be transferred.
That is a big question. I do not know. And you know what I suggest you do? This is kind of ironic. Google or Bing that question. Online and look for that.
One of the things you could potentially do is you could set up a Google account and you can copy your documents up to your own Google Drive, Word documents, PowerPoint, and Excel documents, pictures and photos and videos will transfer up to your Google Drive.
Do you have a Gmail account?
But applications will not.
Pardon me?
Yes, I do.
Okay, with your Gmail account, you should be able to transfer your contacts and your email to it, I believe.
You might be able as well to import and export a Word doc into Google Docs.
Yes. I think so.
Yeah, you can.
So there are some things you can do. We'll try to find out more information about that, Peter, okay?
Very good. Thank
Excellent
you.
Question.
Thank
you. I can't wait to start looking into this for our listeners.
Yeah, we should do that.
We're going to see if we can get some for us to get hands-on to try.
Of course, I guess that depends on how much you want to share with Google of all your stuff.
Now, that is the other point. Yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, Apple already knows about every song I've ever had.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
It's no different.
And how many credit cards?
How many credit cards have I plugged
400
into?
400 million, I think. Yeah. All right, hey, let's see if we can squeeze one more in here. That's Joanne from Concord, Ohio. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Good to have you on the air with us.
Hi, gentlemen. I know you're really short on time, so I'll try to be real succinct. First of all, I feel like I hit the jackpot with Shane and Cal there because my question is Windows and Mac-related.
Okay.
But, good.
Before I go shopping at Micro Center, I wanted to get some advice and some opinions. I'm a sewing educator. In fact, I talked to you last summer about building my own website. I got that all in place. Everything's going real good.
Good for you.
That's another subject for another day that I'd love to talk to you about.
Yes.
Please call us back and do that.
Yes.
That would be great.
You know what? I'm going to put you on hold at the end of the program. We'll get you. Matter of fact, we're running out of time right now. Can I get your phone number? I'm going to put you on hold so we can do that with her. And what I'll do is, we'll bring you back next week. But in the meantime, we'll talk with you. So let me put you on hold.
Great.
And we'll see if we can get Sharday, see if we can get her phone number, and then we will get back in touch with her. Okay, Lauren? So thank you to Sharday and Lauren who have been helping to answer the phone. And Joanne, we will take that information down and get back to you. Sorry, we just ran out of time at the end of the show. Thanks, guys, so much for being here and for all of your help this week. And for the rest of you, by the way, out there, if you have a question that's kind of hanging, we've got Dennis and Bill there, give us an email
at internetadvisor.net and the Contact Us button. And for those of you listening to us on our affiliates, we hope that you'll involve yourself with asking us questions that way as well. We do pick them up during the week and we answer them. And occasionally, if we get the chance, we'll also bring them on the air here and see if we can bring you in to answer your questions. So that's internetadvisor.net. Hit the Contact Us button and send us your questions.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally-produced computer show with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and their team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or to find the show notes for this podcast, visit www.internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.